Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. We're starting a new Bible study here on Sunday morning, and we're going to do the book of Romans, the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. I think it's hot in here, do you? How many think it's hot in here? Raise your hand. How many think it's cold? Dory thinks it's cold in here. All right, well, somebody give her a hug. Get her warmed up. All right, then I guess I'm just a little bit warm here this morning. All right, Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. The Apostle Paul, of course, started out as an enemy of the cross. Do you know this man, before he got saved, was instrumental in actually putting Christians to death? If you read the book of Acts and you see the situation there, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he just could not stand it that there were these that were teaching that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah of Israel. And he couldn't accept that, couldn't believe that. Also, he couldn't accept the fact that he put an end to the law as well. He was zealous for the law. He was self-righteous. There are a lot of people like that, and there are a lot of people in our world today. Self-righteous, religious, but lost as can be. I wonder, might you have been, or might you even be now, like the Apostle Paul was before he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus? On the road to Damascus, after much conviction in his own heart, watching these Christians whom he tortured, persecuted, had some of them put to death even, watched their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized, these people have something that I don't have. And on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, appeared to the Apostle Paul. And that day, the Apostle Paul trusted Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And God raised up the Apostle Paul to be a preacher to the Gentiles. And he did that faithfully. And he was a great man of God. And he wrote much of our New Testament scriptures. So from being an enemy of the cross to being a preacher of the cross, it just shows you what the power of God can do to someone who believes and acknowledges their sinful condition before a holy God and trust in the only way to be saved through God's Son, Jesus Christ, who without sin paid for our sin on the cross of Calvary. Now Paul gets to write a letter to the people in Rome. And he's writing a letter to them. And in chapter 1, he says this: Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Let's stop right there and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear God, help us as we study thy word. Give us quietness of heart and mind and help us to grab a hold of the things that you have for us in your word this morning. We are a church of Jesus Christ right here. We belong to you through faith in Christ. He's saved our souls and made us children of God. And we now need to learn more about our Savior, Jesus Christ. So guide and direct in what we say here this morning. Help everyone to be able to get a hold of things out of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It starts off with announcing who the writer is. It's Paul. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Great words that Paul gives here. What am I doing? Paul says, I've been called to be an apostle. An apostle is a sent messenger, a sent out messenger. And Paul's saying, God has sent me out with a message. And he separated me unto the gospel of God. You know, here we are, Sunday morning, of all the, you know, in the days of our life, we got up this morning, got out of bed, and said, let's go to church. Here we are. Why? It's all because of the gospel. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I go through this, and I've had to read this passage over and over again, and I was thinking, you know, church, for a lot of people, church is just a program. It's just a thing that you do. You put some time in. You need to pay attention to it or whatever. And it's more than that, folks. Christianity is you and me in a relationship with God. And we need to see it as something more than just rote a habit. This is real. Real living together for the Lord. So Paul, okay. Now, let's see if we can go forward here, okay? All right. Paul, separated under the gospel, set apart to preach the gospel of God. Verse 2 says in parentheses, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. The gospel is good news. And it includes what is found in the Old Testament scriptures, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. There are some who want to say that Paul introduced a brand new gospel. It is not brand new. It's as old as the book of Genesis. God, way back there in the book of Genesis, started the gospel message. When Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden, the gospel was put forth right there. How was it put forth? When they sinned and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they fell into sin and they knew they were sinners. They saw themselves naked at that time. Before that, they were naked. It wasn't a problem at all. Now, all of a sudden, their minds were filled with sin. We call it the fall. They fell into sin. God provides salvation right there in the very beginning, and it starts in Genesis, and it continues right on through to the book of Revelation till it's all over. And I'm going to tell you this, it's good news. Good news. The bad news is that man sinned and disobeyed God and plunged this whole creation into a curse. And disease and sickness and death and trouble. Why is there problems in our world today? You get up this morning and more trouble in Baghdad. You know, let me just throw a political thing out here to you. And if I get in trouble, too bad. I thought we won that war. We lost a lot of men over there in Iraq. Do you know there's more problems there now than when we started with? And we want to give this over to the same people to run it again? You better get out there and pull the lever down for the right guy. And who that is, I have a hard time figuring that one out too. But you know what? We got the wrong people in power, that's for sure. The wrong people are in power. And we got a mess in this world going on right now. There's my political commentary for the day. We got trouble. And they want more. Give us your vote. And they buy the votes. They pass out all the money to buy the votes so they can stay in there and continue to take away our security. We're in big trouble. Big trouble. That's the political commentary for today. Why is there so much trouble? Because of the sin of man. Because man fell into sin. But I believe, my Bible says, that one of these days, we're going to have a king of righteousness dwelling, and everything is going to be the way it should be. And it's not going to be that way until Jesus comes back. It's going to take an Armageddon to get it accomplished, but he's going to do it. Until then, we need to be faithful servants of the Lord and walk godly before him and realize that this world needs Christ. They don't need a Republican or a Democrat. They need Jesus Christ. That's who they need. And we have that good news. And so Paul here says, I've been separated under the gospel of God, and I want to preach this. This has been promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Old Testament prophets talk about a coming Savior. Now, I know in the Old Testament, the law comes into play. God gave Moses the law and so forth. But you know what? The law does not save. The law just shows how sinful men are. The law was given to show how wicked men are. And he gave it to the nation of Israel to set them apart from the rest of the world. And they failed. That's what Romans is going to teach us. That the whole world becomes guilty before God. And it's in need of a great gospel, a great Savior. And Paul is being commissioned here in the book of Romans and throughout his life to spread that good news not only to the Jew but to the Gentile as well. I'm glad for this. Salvation is for whosoever will. It's for everybody, both the Jew and the Gentile, because both the Jew and the Gentile need to be saved. The Jews think they're okay. The Gentiles don't think they're that bad either. But when you're done with the book of Romans, you come away with this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you come away with this: Jesus is the only one who can make unrighteous people righteous before God. And blessed is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity or transgression, but who rather gives him grace and mercy and saves him. And that's what happens through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, hey, you start in the book of Genesis, you see the gospel there. When they sinned, God slew animals, slew them, shed their blood, put clothes on them. And Melanie, you're going to have to take her out, okay? You got to take her out. Got to do it. All right. It's either her or me. All right. There you go. He slew those animals and he put coats of skin on them to cover their sin and their wickedness. There's an example, a type of Christ dying on the cross. His blood being shed for my sin so that I, through faith in Jesus Christ, can stand before God and be made righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ. The virgin birth was talked about in the Old Testament. This Savior has to come into the world without the stain of sin. As I look at this congregation here today, you know what I see? A bunch of sinners. Okay? They're all a bunch of sinners. So am I. So am I. We're all sinners. But there is one who was born into this world without the stain of sin. And it had to be done in a perfect way. And the Old Testament talks about, Isaiah talks about, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God dwelling with us. And into this world he came without sin, and he walked among us and lived among us. The Old Testament prophets even said this person would come and he would perform miracles and do things to show who he is, and he did. Remember when John the Baptist was wondering about Jesus? He sent messengers to Jesus. Art thou the Christ, or do we look for another? And Jesus comes right back and quotes Isaiah 35 and says, oh, look, the lame are walking, the blind see, and the dead are raised. In other words, I am the Messiah, John. I am he. And so John told his disciples, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So virgin birth, absolutely necessary. The miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely necessary. And then the cross. You can see the cross in the Old Testament prophets. Psalm 22, Psalm 69. And you can just look at Isaiah 53. Isn't it something that all I have to do is say those numbers for some of you, and you say in your mind, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. If I say Isaiah 53, does that mean anything to you? You know, those of you who have studied your Bibles at all, if I say Isaiah 53, you should be saying in your mind, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We did esteem him, despise, rejected a man. That's my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years before he came, talked about how he would die on the cross. Some of the other verses say, what are these wounds in your hands? They're the wounds of my friends, my own house. Speaking of how they would crucify him on the cross with the nails in his hand. The cross. Then the prophets also talked about this person who would come, who would do great things for the nation of Israel, but then he would die. And then that he would rise up from the grave. He would resurrect. Yeah, he would die, but he would conquer death. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And that's in the Old Testament. This is the gospel which was written before in the Old Testament. And Paul in the New Testament is presenting it both to the Jew and to the Gentile. And then salvation. You know, people don't like to hear that word, salvation. I'm amazed how many people know that the name for Jesus is he is a Savior. But they fail to realize that that means he saves people. That means then that people need saving. I'm amazed how many lost people, when you talk about our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, yeah, I know that. I know about that. Yeah, but did you hear me say Savior? That means he's saving people. That means you have to see yourself as someone who's lost who needs to be saved. And my Savior, Jesus Christ, is just that, a Savior, because he saves sinners, and sinners need to be saved. We shouldn't be afraid to preach the gospel. We need to tell people they need to be saved. Are you saved? I would think that we should start using that terminology with people. Are you saved? Let's see how they come back. Well, I go to church, you know, they try to give you some religious answer or whatever. And just ask it again, but are you saved? You can kind of see people like, are you saying that I need to be saved? Yes, I am saying you need to be saved. I needed to be saved when I was 10 years old. I needed salvation. That's what my Savior is. He's a Savior. And then sanctification. Oh, how God wants his people to be holy people, godly people. And you and I who are saved and know the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're to be holy people. Here's another thing. Jesus is coming back. The Old Testament scriptures talk about how Jesus is coming back. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, he talks about how Israel was being carried away into captivity, and that someday their Savior is going to come back and set up their kingdom again. And they're going to have a temple, and they're going to enjoy a real time of blessing. That is the nation of Israel. They're going to rule over the Gentile nations. Well, that hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. So their Messiah came the first time, as we well know, died on the cross, was buried, rose again. He went back to heaven. Israel is still not enjoying the blessings that Ezekiel talks about. You know what has to happen? Jesus has to come back. And he's going to come back. And he told his disciples before he left, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. I'm going to come back. And of course, the church has its own special information given to it that we're going to be raptured out of here at any time before the tribulation begins, and then he sets up his kingdom to come. We're looking forward for the Lord to come back at any moment. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is part of that gospel. And there's going to be a great kingdom coming someday too. And he's going to judge this earth, and he's going to cleanse this earth and make it pure and clean, just like it was in the very beginning. This is the gospel. You know, the other thing there is evolution, humanism. Man thinks he's going to somehow bring about a utopia on his own. Some even get so crazy as to think that we need to colonize other worlds and go out into space, you know, because we're gonna toast here one of these days and we need to find another place to live. I don't look at that at all. God knows what he's doing. And he's going to take this world and judge it, and he's going to make it brand new. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and it will last forever. And we who know the Lord as Savior are going to live with him forever and ever. Don't listen to the naturalists who think everything's just natural. Matter is the only thing that matters. No. God made all things, and he made things out of nothing. And he's going to preserve it, and he's going to recreate it. And we're going to live in a new heaven and a new earth someday because of the gospel of God. Good news of God. I'm glad for the good news. Separated under the gospel, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And here it is, verse 3 and 4. Concerning the Republican Party. No. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what it comes down to, folks. Which was made of the seed of David. There's his humanity coming into the world. According to the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know, folks, that ought to sound out from the pages of the Scripture like a beautiful song, all right? Resurrection from the dead. We all know that we're going to meet that date somewhere along the line of dying. Every day in the newspaper, do I even have to say, is silly. There's obituaries in there every day. People are dying. They're dying to get out of here, right? But they're dying every day. We're talking about a resurrection from the dead here. That is good news. This isn't all there is. There's life after death. We're looking for eternity. And it's through this Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's amazing how many religions there are in the world. And a lot of the religions have a main God. And then underneath the main God, there's like a lesser God. A lot of times it's what they would refer to as one of their God's children, a son of God. But it's an adulterated understanding of it. And I believe it's a devil's counterfeit of the truth. The truth is God the Father in heaven has an eternal Son who's always been with him from eternity past. It's an eternal relationship that they've had. Now, the gods of men, they make them of their own liking and everything. And of course, the different gods do different things and stuff like that. My heavenly Father has an eternal Son called Jesus Christ who's always been with him. And they together have already determined in their heart to make us in their image and even bring us into fellowship with them if we want to. And he did it through sending his eternal Son from eternity past into this world, born of flesh, seed of David, according to the flesh. Into the world he came. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. And they saw it. They saw it. With the miracles and the things he did, he's the Son of God. When they were in the boat and the storm came and he stilled the storm, the response from them was, "What manner of person is this?" that even the sea and the waves obey him. What manner of person is this? Others said, he speaketh with authority, unlike others. Yes, the declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. John saw that dove come down on Jesus when he baptized him. And he heard the voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the one concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And verse 5 continues, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. I want to kind of like skip over that just a little bit. I might come back to that next time and talk a little bit about that. But I want to go to verse 7 because I want to bring something out before I close here this morning. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. What I want to bring out here is this. Paul was not interested in starting a program. And I'm not interested in starting a program. Do you know what most churches are today? How can we get bigger? How can we have more money? How can we do more things? Do we have programs for this age group, that age group, this age group, that age? You know what, folks? Church is not a program. It is a, let's say, an organism. It's a living, moving, breathing thing for the honor and glory of the Lord. And we're to have fellowship one with another. We're to come here and learn the Word of God and grow in our knowledge of Him. Because you know what, folks? I gave you that political commentary just a moment ago. When trouble comes, and it comes time to take a stand for what you believe in, it's not going to be good enough to say, well, we have a program at church for that. You have to be able to stand on your own. You've got to have a good, strong faith base to really stand up against persecution that's going to come. Because it's going to come. You can see it. Trouble everywhere you look. And the agenda of the homosexual crowd, the transgender crowd, and that, it is in your face. And, you know, a program at church isn't going to get you through. You got to know what you believe. You got to know why these things are wrong and what is right. And what does the Lord expect from us as a church and believers in this day and age? We need to have the doctrine. We need to have fellowship. Paul says, I want to come there and see you guys, not to count how many people you have. I don't know about you, but over the years we've had guys come in here, and what they want to talk about is, well, Brothers Church has 200 people in it, and last year they had 100, and now they got 500. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care about the numbers. Well, they're building a new building. They have an educational wing onto their church now. And you know what? That's not going to get you through the trouble that comes. It's not going to get you through. Noah, can you take care of that, please? All right. It's not going to take care of that problem. When trouble comes, you got to know what your Bible says. And it's not going to do, well, we ought to program at church for that. No. The church is a living, breathing, moving thing. And I want you to become a part of that. Let's serve the Lord together. Paul says, I want to come to you to impart some spiritual gift to you, to give you something to grow on, that you be strong in the Lord. Not, well, we had 500 people in church last Sunday. How do you know you had 500? Because we counted them. Why are you counting them? Well, so that we know if we had more than last week. You know, that's not going to get you through persecution. It's just not going to get you there. You need to know what you believe and why you believe what you believe. And Paul says, I can't wait to get there. I want to have fellowship with you folks there in Rome. And when I get there, I'm going to impart some spiritual blessing to you and you to me. Folks, here we are. We're in church. Have you blessed anybody here today? I mean, your being here, has it helped somebody else out? That's why we get together, all right? It's not just, well, I wonder how many will be out here today. No, it's, wasn't it good to see so-and-so? Wasn't it good to be able to sing together? Wasn't it good to be able to gather around the Lord's table here and together eat the bread and drink that cup and remember our Lord? Isn't that a good thing? You know, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Doesn't matter if there's 500 or two or three. It matters who we're with and what are we doing. I don't know if this is making any sense to you or not, but quite frankly, I'm not interested in building a program. I'm interested in building a ministry that ministers and serves and helps people. Our singing needs to bring honor and glory unto the Lord. I hope when you came in here that the songs blessed you. And that talking before and after the service is a good thing. That's good. You know, some churches, when the preacher says amen, there's a big sucking sound as everybody leaves, you know. What's wrong? Stick around and say, hey, how you doing? You know, how's it going? Joe, how's your foot? Pastor, how's your cancer? Florence, how you feeling? How's your back? Feels terrible, doesn't it? Huh? Some days it's bad. Some days it's good. Les back there, how's your cancer coming along? You know, and everybody, y'all got problems, and we need to fellowship one with another. Hey, did you read anything good in the Bible last week? You know, how's it going? That's what we need. If all we have is a program, and you're in and out of here, you know, what do we got? You can go to the Republican Club for that, Democratic Club for that, the VFW. You got all kinds of clubs. This is no club. This is family. This is Christ. This is where we fellowship around one whom we're going to heaven with someone one of these days. I'm going to heaven. How about you? You're going to heaven? You're looking forward to me? Hey, by the way, you're going to be with me in heaven forever. Well, I'll be perfect then, all right? All right? And things will be as they should be. It's going to be wonderful. And this is why we get together. Okay, well, I don't know if it made any sense. I hope it does help you out a little bit. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Okay, dear God, thank you. Thank you for saving sinners like us and help us as we go forward to love each other, love the Lord, serve you. Realize this is not just some program we've established here. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, a living, moving, breathing thing. It's real. And help us to serve you faithfully till Jesus comes for us. We know the promises in the book are ours. He's coming any moment, any day. Looking forward to it. Keep us safe as we go our way. Bless our families, our children. Help them all grow up and learn of Jesus. Get saved at a young age and serve the Lord. Bless this church for thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.